This is a new voice for a new Scotland.
Let's move on to the review of the week. Right, Monday started on COVID and rising cases in Scotland and the plight of university students. University students stuck in their halls, couldn't get food. Now, the universities are supposed to be supplying them with this stuff, but universities are known the business of supplying students with foods. It's not a school with the day school lunch and breakfast club. Universities have canteens where students go and buy the stuff or they cook in the halls of residence. So apparently the universities are struggling to get food to kids on Monday, but I'm sure it'll sort itself out. Okay. The story on Monday quickly changes to that of disastrous circle track and trace system in England. When it comes out, it supported the 15,841 positive tests, hadn't been informed, hadn't been tracked and traced, and were walking about for 7 days before they were contacted. It had to do with a problem with Serco's tech system. Apparently they were using a legacy system, apparently left over from when there used to be a Public Health England. Anyway, they were using Excel spreadsheets, and apparently it ran out of columns, so it couldn't update. So 15,841 positive tests fell off the radar. Matt Hancock had to go to Parliament and give an explanation. He said they'd all been contacted, and Circle Track and Trace team, in conjunction with public health, local public health teams, were tracking down the contacts of these 15,841 people who'd been stoking about positive for a week without being told. Moving on. Monday, Sunak, the Chancellor, addressed the Conservative Unionist Party conference, promising to balance the books. Right? He stated that the furlough scheme was a success and that the new job support scheme is an example of how the government has supported people in the pandemic so far. Right? Sunak told delegates he would continue to be creative in supporting business and creating new jobs. He said various programmes were underway, but no Chancellor could save all jobs and all businesses, and non-viable businesses will be allowed to go to war. Now, I don't know what a non-viable business is, but I bet you most of them got a small business loan. Anyway, current borrowing from April to August was £173.7 billion. Borrowing for September alone was £39 billion, the highest borrowing amount on record since records began in 1993. So Sunak has promised to balance the books, and the public have not even been told the state of the public finances because Sunak won't do a budget. So he's promising to balance the books. We don't even know what state the public finances are in. He's just heralding in tax rises, deeper austerity cuts. Cuts, cuts, cuts. Because the Tories don't have the brains to invest their way out of trouble. They don't have the brains to grow the economy to balance the books the way that Portugal did, by investing in infrastructure and in public services. The Tories won't do that. They will cut, 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 cut. Right? Now, we know that to be true because also, in the same speech, the Chancellor announced that the extra £20 a week that was going to the poorest people on universal credit during the COVID pandemic would be scrapped next April. So, right when we get into the eye of the storm with Brexit, food shortages, food price inflation, he's taking £1,000 a year off the poorest in society. So, as I say, he's held on in cuts, 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 because he's not got the brains to try and grow their way out of the situation we're in. Right. On Monday, there was mere disrespect from the Scottish Parliament. Kate Ford, Scottish Finance Secretary, said she was not consulting on the UK government's decision to end the tourist VAT scheme. It was announced that the VAT retail export scheme is to end on the 31st of December, Brexit, at the end of the Brexit transition period, right? The scheme allows non-EU citizens to claim the VAT back on products they take home in their personal luggage. You know, things like Scotch whiskey, haggis, Stornoway black pudding, you know, all these named products that we sell here in Scotland to tourists. Okay, so she wasn't even consulting. She could find out through social media. This is becoming a pattern. The Scottish Government has totally ignored the disrespect for the Scottish people and the Scottish People's Parliament is in plain sight. Right, Monday, The English High Court ruled in favour of Venezuela in its attempt to withdraw £1 billion worth of gold from the Bank of England's gold repository, right? The UK government had refused to return the gold on the ground that they didn't recognise President Maduro. They recognised the opposition guy, who was Juan Guaido. That's who the opposition guy was, right? Now, President Maduro's lawyers and the Bank of Venezuela's lawyers successfully argued that the UK government's view didn't reflect the view on the ground of Venezuela, and that the Venezuelan bank was 100% behind, and people were 100% behind President Maduro. Right? So the High Court ruled in favour of Venezuela, and the UK's to cough up the billion, sorry, the 1 billion gold bullion. Right? Now, the reason for the court's ruling was it said that the Bank of England shouldn't have gotten itself involved in politics. It would ruin its international reputation as a safe gold repository. It's a bank. You put something in a bank, you expect people to get it back out. That was the argument by the Venezuelans, upheld by the High Court in England. We'll see if the UK government appeals it. Alright? Monday, MPs backed the bill to allow police and Secret Service personnel the ability to commit crimes in the course of their duties. Right? Former Tory Minister David Davis said he's not sure the correct checks are and balances were in place. He's referring to Section 5 of the bill, which denotes checks and balances, the areas where they'd be allowed to break the law. The one that covers everything is in the interest of national security. He wants to write that on your warrant and get a judge to sign, that'll be signed. No questions asked. Right? Labour's Shadow Home Secretary Nick Thomas Simons said the Labour Party would not oppose the bill at this stage, but would work with the government to try and improve it. Right now, there's been previous schemes along these lines, folks. They ran in the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, and they spent all the 90s in the courts trying to settle up. There's still some court cases going on, right? In these schemes, special brands were allowed to, were sent out to infiltrate all the political parties, all the trade unions, and all the activist groups, animal activists, CND, WWF, all that sort of thing, you know. And in the course of their duties back then, especially in the activist groups, the undercover officers get into relationships, fathered children, and their infiltration of trade unions led to blacklists where anybody that stepped to a line and challenged trade unions or the government on things like health and safety and that, they were blacklisted, thrown on the scrap heap. So we'd all this stuff going on the last time that the police were given temporary powers to do these things, never mind permanent powers to do these things. Absolutely astonishing that a bill like this could come before the House of Commons. There's something about this Tory government we're law-breaking. It's went after the judiciary, it's went after immigration lawyers, it's going to break international treaties, including, and it's going to ride the coach and horse through the 1998 Scotland Act. These are all treaties. It tends to break international law, as I say, it tends to break domestic law. This Tory government is putting itself above the law. Section 45.2 of the Internal Market Bill does that. Right, moving on. Monday, the UK immigration bill for post-Brexit immigration goes in front of the House of Lords. Right, 5 amendments are laid down, including the Dubs Amendment. Now, the Dubs Amendment allows UK children to be reunited with relatives in the UK. The Dubs Amendment and all the rest of the amendments laid down in the House of Lords will be booted out by Bojo's supermajority, and that supermajority will lead to the bill passing as is. And it's a pretty harsh bill. It's going to make access to the UK for immigrants very, very difficult. The wage cap, the point system, it's going to really hurt Scotland because we rely very, very heavily on inward migration, all right, because of our ageing population. So, the immigration bill is in the Lords. Okay. I'll be going back to Parliament and I'll see how many votes do. Right, back here in Scotland on Monday, a new law is proposed to ban domestic abusers from the victims' homes. The new law would give police and the courts the power to remove the abuser and ban them from returning for 2 months. It would also allow landlords to end the tenancy of anyone who had abused their partners and their properties, and transferred the tenancy to the partner. Now, Dr. Marcia Scott of the Scottish Women's Aid, the bill would mean that victims of domestic abuse wouldn't face homelessness when trying to escape abuse. Okay. So that's the stories I picked out for Monday. Let's move on to Tuesday the 6th of the 10th, 2020. All right. Tuesday started again on the COVID stats. It's starting to accelerate as the week goes on. All right. And there was speculation on what the First Minister would implement as the new lockdown rules are tightening of the lockdown, if you like. Right. They're worried about a circuit breaker, is what they're calling a circuit breaker lockdown during the school holidays, all right? A third of pubs, restaurants, hotels, and tourist attractions have already stated at the end of the furlough scheme they'll be laying their staff off anyway, and this would be a further hit. Okay, we'll get merry out of the week to run, of course. Tuesday, it's reported that criminals may have stolen $1.9 billion from the UK taxpayers through the Small Business Bounce Back Scheme. All right? The Small Business Bounce Back Loan Scheme allowed small businesses to borrow up to $50,000 over 6 years, which has now been extended to over 10 years, right? It's reported that criminals have set up small businesses to make a claim for the loans, right? But that's to be expected if they're just following the example of the Cabinet. The Cabinet have been giving billions of pounds to defunct, hundreds of millions of pounds to defunct companies to get PPE. Basically, they're stealing it. So, the criminals are getting in on the act. They've picked up the Tory Cabinet wheeze, and they've started bouncing in for some of this taxpayer-funded 100% government-backed loans. Now, we won't really find out how much there has actually been stolen, if we ever do, and we won't really find out how much its final cost is to the public purse. But we have a few figures, all right? So far, 1.55 million small businesses have applied for the loan, with 1.26 million loans having been approved. The total cost of the scheme, 100% backed by the taxpayer, so far is 31.3 billion. The taxpayer will also pay 1.07 billion to the high street banks because the loans, fully backed by the taxpayer and the UK government, the first year of the loans is interest-free, but the banks that are lending the money, they want the interest for the first year. So the taxpayer will pay $1.07 billion to the high street banks to cover the first year of the loans interest. All right. Now, as I say, we don't really know what the total cost to the public purse is going to be, but we can speculate it's going to be high. Because, as the Chancellor has already said in his keynote speech, non-viable businesses will be allowed to go to the wall. Now, a lot of the non-viable businesses, as he's calling them, will have taken these small business bounce back loans. Remember, small and medium-sized enterprises are the backbone of Scotland, England, Wales and Northern Ireland's economies. All right. Tuesday, it's also reported that there could be a shortage of medical test kits, especially COVID test kits and cancer test kits, severe cancer and that sort of thing. Well, the smear tests. Well, anyway, it's because the company Roche, the Swiss pharmaceutical giant, Roche is having problems in its supply chain. It says it's going to switch to just doing COVID-19 tests for the time being, and that it hopes to have a problem sorted out within a couple of weeks. So there could be a shortage of test kits over the next couple of weeks. Right. Tuesday, the First Minister tells the people of Scotland that a stay-at-home lockdown is not on the cards. Lindsay Brief, right? She said she's not preparing another lockdown. Well, we know that. She didn't need the financial clout in Edinburgh to do that, right? She did hint that there could be travel restrictions turned out there, wasn't it? And in hotspots, there could be extra restrictions turned out there, was all right? She was discouraging non-essential travel as well in her Tuesday briefing, okay? And she was discouraging overseas travel altogether, right? Tuesday, that saw Bojo give his keynote speech to the virtual Conservative Party conference. Bojo was stood behind a lectern in front of a banner that said Build Back Better. Okay. So Bojo was blowharting about past glories in the Second World War and other historical figures, and then goes on to say we're going to build back better and a new Jerusalem. in England, because he's an English nationalist. He's only interested in England. He's England's PM. He's no interest in the rest of the UK. So a new Jerusalem's to be built in England, right? Pulls your heart back again to glory days of yore, and announced that the COVID pandemic was the catalyst for change. Like the Second World War, he says it's time for a reset. All right. Pojo then promised to fix problems in the social care in England. He promised a green revolution and all houses to be powered by wind power by 2030. Right? And he also promised to fix the housing problem in England by guaranteeing 20 to 30 year olds 95% mortgages. Let's go through that, right? Social care, no detail on how he's going to fix it. Just say he's going to fix it. Green Revolution, well, he's talking about raping Scotland's resources again. Because he's talking about offshore wind power, and England hasn't got very much in the way of offshore waters. And the ones they do have are facing onto the Irish Channel, or the Irish Sea, and the English Channel. Two of the busiest shipping routes in the areas. The English Channel is one of the busiest shipping routes in the world. Now, moving on to mortgages for 20 to 30 year olds, let's have a look at that. We're just about to hit mass unemployment. The young suffer the worst, right? We're about to get into a decade at least of a further austerity and mass unemployment. We're about to get into a depression because of COVID and Brexit. He's going to fix the housing problem in England by offering 20 to 30 year olds 95% mortgages on a fixed mortgage, fixed interest rate. They're not going to have any money to buy houses. None. It would be better building social housing. But as I said earlier, they're no bright enough, the Tories, to grow their way out of the public, grow the public finances to balance the books. They're not that bright. Okay. New analysis by BBC said it was all, and this is Laura Coonsberg's analysis, by the way. She just said it was hairy, fairy, pie in the sky stuff. Alright? And it is. Electrifying all the houses by 2030. There wouldn't be an inch of Scotland that wouldn't have a wind turbine on it, because they don't build wind turbines down there on the land, and they haven't got any sea to put them on. Alright? Tuesday seen two debates in the Commons, right? One on international law with a private member's bill. It's not gone anywhere, because they intend to break international law. And the other one was on COVID restrictions down in England. It was discovered that the rule of six down there was just pulled out of a hat, because it didn't make any sense. Six people from six different households. Up here it makes sense. Six people from no more than two households can meet outside only, and no home visits. You know, that's our rule of six. Theirs is, you can meet six people from six households outside or inside. Didn't make any sense at all. Right? And they also come to light that the Kenneth Holt embargo and pubs had no based in scientific evidence either. But it had a lot of common sense in it. The earlier people were out the pub, the less likely they are to be drunk, the less likely they are to hang around or chat with each other. Social distancing might be observed. Especially if the bar staff are ensuring that maybe they get drunk and they don't serve drunk. Right? Tuesday, Bojo the Clown appears on the television, Sky Television, to moan that the SNP in Scotland is ruining his global Britain. Well, there's an easy answer to that, Bojo. He's my referendum and we'll get on our way. Then you and little England can do whatever it is you want. But while you insist we stay in this bloody union, then we're going to disrupt what you're doing down that road. Because it's not what we want today. Simple as that. So Bojo goes on to Sky News to complain that we, the Scots, are ruining his global Britain. You think he's trying to shove us out the door? He's trying with Northern Ireland. But that gets more interesting as the week goes on. Alright. But there's a reason England, the Westminster government doesn't want to let Scotland go. Because England has got very little to sell the rest of the world. It has no resources. It only has the banking and money laundering services of the corrupt London banking system. That's it. It doesn't manufacture very much anymore. It hasn't got much to sell to the world. It desperately needs Scotland for resources and cash. It needs us for food, water, oil, gas, electricity, and human resources. England has got nothing, and that's why they're holding on to us at the time. Not going to work right now. Tuesday, Dross surprises everybody and commits his so-called Scottish Tories to supporting free higher education in Scotland. Now, Ross is only trying to buy votes for the Labour Party here, the hardline unionists, because he's losing traditional Tories, right? But more importantly, Dross knows that his commitment to free higher education in Scotland is a lot of crap, because the internal market bill means that the education sector will need to come into line with the rest of the UK, which will mean tuition fees. All right, so Dross is just at it. So his short-term commitment is an attempt to try and win our unionist votes. A lot of traditional Tories don't like the way the Tory party's gone, but that's just the way it is. And on Tuesday, the Unite Union announces it's cutting its funding to the Labour Party by 10%, as it does not like the direction Labour are going in under Sir Keir Starmer, the Red Tory Starmer. Other trade unions will probably follow suit. Now that's a big problem for Richard Leonard and his team in Scotland, because they've only got about 10,000 members and maybe another 4,000 affiliate members via the social clubs, and maybe the odd affiliate member via the trade unions. But most people up here who are in trade unions have instructed the trade unions not to pay dues to political parties on their behalf. Right? So, Labour in Scotland is in a big mess. They're at 14% in the polls. Nobody knows who Richard Hu is, and there's an election coming up, and they don't think they're going to be able to finance that move of candidate in every constituency. So, Labour's on its death throes. That's what happened to Labour when you tell lies for British Tories. Right. So that's the stories I want to talk about for Tuesday. Let's move on to Wednesday the 7th of the 10th, 2020. Wednesday started again on COVID and the rise in infections. The speculation of which methods and restrictions the First Minister will put in place to try and slow or halt the spread and save lives, right? People are starting to grow weary of the whole COVID-19 thing. They're getting lax. It's something we need to get in touch with people, especially people our age. We need to talk to our children and grandchildren and say, hey, rein your necks in here, kids. This is serious, right? Also on Wednesday, a group of academics sitting at the Ivory Towers in Oxford and Edinburgh and various other, Bristol and various other universities, release a letter saying, in the absence of a vaccine, we should just stay like COVID run wild and get to herd immunity. Now we know the UK government's own calculations, herd immunity, we're going to lose 250,000 to 500,000 citizens. Right? We're going to lose the elderly and the vulnerable if we follow the line of herd immunity. Now I think they are doing that down there. But I think up here the First Minister is genuinely trying no to let this virus run wild. Down that road, I'm not so sure. Wednesday, the Information Commission released a report into interference of elections and the Brexit referendum, right? It found that Cambridge Analytica did not interfere in the Brexit vote. Cambridge Analytica was accused of gathering the information of thousands of Facebook users to target them with pro-Brexit ads. The Information Commissioner's Office raided Cambridge Analytica in 2018, 2 years after the vote, right, after the event. So they've analysed the computers that they got 2 years after the event and found that there was nothing on them, right. Now the company director, Andrew Nix, well his company went bust and the insolvency service banned him from being a company director for 7 years. And now this comes out, you think Mr. Nix will be suing? But as I say, they raided the place 2 years after the event. Wouldn't have been hard for Cambridge Analytica to get rid of all that information in 2 years. Right, the Information Commissioner, Elizabeth Denholm, said that there was many weaknesses and failures and digital strategies and political parties' use of digital information to target voters. Right, as we know, Facebook have been fined £500,000 for not protecting Facebook users from their information being harvested for the political ends. And the Vote Leave and Leave UK were fined £40,000 and £15,000 respectively. There was also a women's group in the run-up to the 2017 general election that had been given the information to the new mothers to the Labour Party. For the Labour Party to target them politically. That particular group was fined £100,000. But anyway, Miss Denham, they will be issuing guidance and a letter to the Culture and Media Department. Okay, Secretary. So, issuing guidance, folks. There'll be new laws put in place to stop this sort of carry on from happening. The Information Commissioner is just going to issue guidance to political parties and organisations. There you have it. Guido Fox, the right-wing online magazine, released documents to show that the UK government had hid Brexit plans from the devolved governments. Right? Now, they published the documents for the UK government's Brexit plans on their website. And it was clearly marked on the documents which had been circulated to UK ministers that sections 5, 6 and 7 of those documents was to be withheld for the devolved parliaments. It had to do with food shortages, problems in the supply chains, medicine shortages, that sort of thing. The food security, and that's very important. Northern Ireland, Wales and Scotland, where they needed that information to start putting contingency plans in place. But the information wasn't forthcoming. So while England's been able to prepare itself for what's coming with Brexit, like Turnley Kent, where all the food's going to come in, into a huge car park with a border, and only trucks with passes being able to get in and out. Well, what'd you make of that? So England's got its preps in place. Kent's turned into a huge car park where all the food's coming in. Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, they get the information withheld for them so that they can't make contingency plans. So Westminster's got the three devolved areas like that because they are controlling the food supply coming in to Kent. Right? Interesting, to say the least. Okay. Wednesday, the presiding officer at Holyrood, Ken McIntosh, calls for MSPs to have a greater say in choosing Scotland's COVID restrictions. First Minister Nicola Sturgeon said, it's important that the government can move quickly in a rapidly changing medical emergency. But she also says parliamentary scrutiny is very important. Okay. Wednesday, Scotland's Education Secretary, John Swinney, announces that the National 5 exam diet would be scrapped next year. Students would be graded on coursework. The Scottish Qualifications Authority to issue guidance to teachers on evidence gathering of coursework to be submitted for grading. Right? It was also announced by John Swinney that the higher diet and the advanced higher diet would go ahead with pupils sitting exams as normal. Okay. Wednesday, 14:50, the First Minister addressed Parliament on the latest COVID rules. Cafes, pubs, restaurants to open, but without selling booze. And they're to open from 6 in the morning to 6 at night. The pubs will open from 10 to 6 at night. Right, but they're not to sell booze indoors. And in the central belt, they're to shut altogether. Okay? Hotels can keep their restaurants open, but only to feed residents. They're not to feed anybody coming in asking for a meal. Right? Now, the new restrictions were plastered all over the news. Everybody could see them. Absolutely everybody. They're still up on the BBC website. I think there's a copy of them on my timeline if you go back to Wednesday. They're up on the STV website, the Sky website, they're on the government website. Maybe nuggets there become important when we get to Thursday, alright? So, the central belt, bingo halls, bowling alleys, snooker halls, and now I saw the entertainment venues have been shut except for gyms for personal training. No group training, but personal training. And for the over 18s in the central belt, contact sports have been ceased immediately. Right? So all the information is out there. Now, the stop of the sale of alcohol in premises, as indoor premises, is to help with social distancing. Drunk people don't hang over the tap each other, right? These restrictions are to stay in place until the 26th of October, the Scottish Government to provide a £40 million fund to compensate businesses in the hospitality sector. Right? This was followed by questions, as I say, for the political parties, leaders. I didn't bother going to a blow-by-blow report of it. You can go back and watch it yourselves. It was disgusting. There's the First Minister trying to save lives, and you've got the three cuckoo parties in the nest who are politicking on the tap yet. It was a disgusting display, and Joanne Lamont put a right slapping. As I say, go back and look at yourself. I couldn't regurgitate it. It was a disgusting display. Right? But on Wednesday night, the internet went into meltdown with all the gammons, and I mean all the gammons, that after nut about the pubs having to shut. Right? Whereas the same gammons were screaming a couple of months back, the schools should have been open before the pubs. But anyway, some of the stuff was really funny. I seen a meme where the three old guys sitting outside the pub smoking with a hawk, and one old guy saying to the other one, I mean, you used to be able to smoke in their places, me, you can't even drink in them. Yeah, I thought that was really good, you know. Right. Well, that was going on in Scotland, down the road, Prime Minister's questions were going on. So Keir Starmer went on Bojo's COVID strategy, or lack of it. He particularly went on the shutdown of the bars at 10 o'clock at night, right? Bojo busted up and said, hey, come on, you were on board with us a fortnight ago, what's the problem now? So it was a pretty tame affair between the two. Ian Blackford, the SNP, went on the scrapping of the Upworth money that was given to Universal Credit claimants during the pandemic. Okay. Mr. Blackford says it's poverty week where we recognise poverty. Come on, Prime Minister. You said you're going to scrap this extra £20 for families in Universal Credit next April. How about you just leave it there and help lift kids out of poverty? Right? Bojo waffled, said to Ian Blackford, I'm glad you're on board with Universal Credit. Ian Blackford said no such thing, and then didn't answer the question. So, the £20 extra that the families in Universal Credit are getting during the pandemic will end next April. As I said earlier, the Sunak speech, right in the eye of the storm, when food scarce, food prices are going up, food inflation will be there. He's taking £1,000 a year after poorest people in society. Absolutely disgusting. And I mean disgusting. Wednesday, the Holyrood debate and an internal market bill and a vote of nay permission. So the Scottish Parliament has voted not to give consent for the internal market bill. So that's the Scottish Parliament and the Northern Irish Parliament so far. We'll see where the Welsh Parliament goes with. Right? Traditional Tory voters, you know, as I say, are appalled at the direction that the Conservative Party are going in. Traditional Tory voters with traditional Tory values of paying your taxes, law and order, and fair commerce. They're no old tax dodgers. That's the crooked ones. They're appalled at where this government's gone with law breaking and some of these bills that are going through with the immigration bill and the security bill and the internal market bill. Traditional Tory voters are fleeing the Tory party. Right? And they're also the biggest group moving to not a yes. We have to embrace these people and give them a platform and talk to other Tories to come across to the yes sign. Alright? But traditional Tory voters are no chuffed. Traditional Tories are no chuffed with the direction this government doing that road's going in. So there's big divisions and big problems in the Tory party. And that's why Dross is making pitches for Labour voters where it's a free education, even though he knows that the internal market bill means market alignment across the UK. And also he knows that it's just a short-term commitment, and the Labour voters and hardline unionists is what he's looking for, because he's shedding traditional Tory voters. So we have to embrace these people and give them a platform. Right, before I move on, Wednesday, at the end of the day, what the First Minister was trying to do when she implemented these new restrictions is save lives. So let's bear that in mind as we move on to Thursday. Okay. Thursday, the 8th to the 10th, 2020. Thursday starts the new COVID restrictions, right? The media attacks on the FM were disgusting, but every single paper on Thursday morning had a pop at the First Minister for the new COVID restrictions. Same thing happens on Friday and all, we'll get to that, right? Also on Thursday, Theresa May attacks her own government, the Conservative Party, on the new planning rules that they're going to put in place in England. Now, apparently, this new planning scheme is run by an algorithm, right? And it's not working on where houses are required, it's working on where there's space to build houses. So Theresa May thinks this whole thing needs scrapped and needs thought out, because what she said will happen is that the suburban areas will become urbanised, and the shires will become suburbanized. Right? Basically, things are moving out. Rather than having the housing built where it's needed in the towns and cities, it's being built further and further and further out. And she says this algorithm will make it worse. Basically, she's complaining they're going to house, they're going to turn the home counties into one big housing complex. So she wants the housing bill scrapped. Right. Thursday, UK government announces 10 inland border checkpoints to cope with the Brexit congestion and customs checks. These include sites in Birmingham, Warrington, and the former airfield near Epping Forest. Right. The inland border sites are being approved to relieve the ports at Dover and Liverpool. Right, so the one at Warrington is going to be a stacking area for the port at Liverpool. The others are going to be for the Eurotunnel and for Dover. Okay. They've also bought another site at Ashford and Kent, right next to the Mosel Lorry Park. And that will enable them to stack 2,000 heavy goods vehicles to queue on the coastbound carriageway while the other traffic continues to flow. The details were announced in the long-awaited border operations document, or model, and it confirms that HGVs will need a Kent-approved passport to get into Kent. Right? So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about food coming in and out, and not getting any further than the southeast of England, because lorries, once they come off the boat, they're being stacked in Kent, and they need permission to leave Kent to take their goods elsewhere. Well, the food's not going to make it any further north than the Watford Gap. There's 8.5 million people down there. Right, so anyway, the border plans have been released, and they talk about stacking areas. There's one in Stranraer and all, which is the service of Cairnryan. They're going to stack the lorries in the old port, right, the old ferry port. So, as I say, 10 sites have been announced, and the trucks will be stacking these 10 sites and released to go to the ports. Okay. Thursday, it's reported that Bojo is in a panic over Brexit negotiations and is about to make major concessions to secure a deal, right? Sir David Frost, the UK's chief Brexit negotiator, says Boris Johnson is backtracking on state aid and on the state aid round in order to reach a deal with the EU club. So, in order to reach a deal, he's going to implement the Northern Ireland protocols to the full, throwing the Northern Irish unionists under a bus, right? And Northern Ireland protocols will go ahead, so that it could well be that he's making concessions so that the clauses in the internal market bill, the Brexit international law, don't kick in. So it looks like he is going to back down and comply with the Northern Ireland protocols. Okay. Right, lunchtime, First Minister's questions came around on the Thursday, right? Wee Baroness Ruthie Tank Commander went on the Alex Salmond inquiry. She had a pop at the First Minister. And her husband, right? First Minister says, nothing to see here, nothing to hide, right? Ruth then went on her husband, urging the police to get on with their inquiries into Mr. Salmond. Now, as I've said before, there could be two reasons for that. Could be the conspiracy theorist reason behind it, or it could be that it's party political reason behind it, because it was embarrassing to the SNP, and him as chief executive of the SNP wanted this matter dealt with out the road. Anyway, me Ruth is a pop. First Minister says, I've got nothing to hide. I've made my submissions. I'll go in front of them and I'll talk to them. Ruth said, nah, you're obstructing the thing. You're obstructing inquiry and the inquiry's having to go to court to get information and things like that. First Minister says, nothing I can do about that. I've given them my submission. I'm going to talk to the inquiry. So, that line of attack, really, and the First Minister slaps through right at the end and goes, lad, you know, in the middle of a pandemic, people want to know what we're doing to try and fight the pandemic. They don't want to know about a side issue, you know. So, wee Ruthie came a slap and sent after the naughty step. Next up was the bouncy boy, Richard Hu. Richard Hu of the Red Tories went on COVID restrictions and test and protect. The First Minister said she consulted with the relevant bodies and the other political parties before she put the new restrictions in place. In fact, she told Richard, we spoke to you about what we were thinking about doing on Monday night. And then she explains to him the test and trace system is working perfectly well, thank you very much. Sit down and shut up, bouncy boy. Right. Next up was Patrick Harvey of the Greens. He went on hospitality in the end of furlough, and the how this £40 million that she put in place to help these businesses was going to be distributed. The First Minister said that it would be distributed in the Aberdeen model, a two-tier model, to get the money out as quick as possible. Because remember, Aberdeen had its hospitality shut down, so there was already a model there to follow, right? Patrick Harvey then went on to ask about providing every citizen with the help she's put in place for the poorest families if they have to go into self-isolation. And the First Minister explains to Patrick Harvey she doesn't have the financial clout to be able to pay everybody. She said they're having to target it at the poorest families because Hollywood doesn't have an infinite budget and all the spending powers are in England. So she's doing the best she can on the limited budget she has. Simple as that. And makes it clear, of course, to the rest of us in Scotland and the Parliament that she would like to be mayor, but can't, because her hands are tied by Westminster being in charge of Scotland's finances. You know. Right. So she points that out. Right. We've already went any of the Lib Dems. He went on track to Ace and it's not working. The First Minister explains to him, aye, it is. He always says not so. The First Minister took the piss and said, we know you're a bright, intelligent guy, Willie. Send us out your ideas in writing and we'll have a wee look at it. Dosh, cuckoo in the nest number 3, slapped. You know, you're a bright, intelligent guy, Willie. You know, just write it down and send it to us. We'll just fire it right under the file, mark bin. So, wee Willie gets a spanking in the nicest possible terms, of course, you know. He was laughing. She also said to him, don't put that, I said that on your election campaign stuff, Willie, I'll deny it. She took the piss right out of him. That was lovely to watch. Thursday, the UK government choice to head up the World Trade Organization, Liam Fox, is knocked out of the running. Right? Much to the relief of the World Trade Organization and the rest of the trading world, right? It leaves Nigeria's Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala and South Korea's Yu Myung-hee in the running, right? Doesn't matter about one of them gets a position. The rest of the world's just relieved it wasn't Liam Fox, right? Thursday, Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer, the Red Tory, fully bought up and paid for member of the British establishment, says that Labour will not vote down the pub curfew when it comes to a vote in the Commons, even though he attacked Bojo on it in Prime Minister's questions. Right? Also Thursday, MPs in England want more clarity on local lockdown rules in the worst hit areas, as it's a rumoured that England's about is set to follow Scotland and closing pubs and restaurants and hotspots. No wonder the Scottish Tories went quiet on this stuff quick. Huh? So there you are. There you have it. Hotspots in England are probably going to be put into the same lockdown restrictions as the central belt here in Scotland. MPs and the Commons want their clarity on it. Right? And that will explain why the Scottish Tories went to screaming their heads up on Tuesday and Wednesday to stoom and attack the First Minister on Alex Salmond on Thursday. Right, we'll move on to Friday the 9th. The Daily Mail goes on, great lockdown shambles. It claims new lockdown measures are as clear as mud. They're only, if people are confused about lockdown measures, it's because the unionist press is trying to make them think they're confusing. Because they're quite clear, right? The Sun goes on, the Santa Claus, right? And that has Professor Jason Leach on the cover saying, obey the new rules, to save Christmas, right? The eye goes on, confusion over illegal alcohol ban. There's no confusion there at all. Banning a harmful substance would come under the Public Health Act, even for a short period of time, right? But there's no really much confusion about it at all. The reason for banning alcohol in indoor spaces and a shut in the pub at 6 o'clock at night is because drunk people don't social distance. Sober people do. So there's no confusion there, you know. Right, the Express goes on, Sturgeon faces legal challenge to COVID confusion. That's your bloody well, doesn't it? Right. And if anybody's confused about the new rules, it's because the press are trying to make them confused. But if you want to see the new rules, they're no confusing at all. They're available on the BBC News website, Sky News website, STV News website, the government website, and I think there's a copy, as I said, on my wall. Scrolled into Wednesday. They're very simple, we understand. Well, re-implication of social distancing in supermarkets, shutting pubs at 6 o'clock at night and only allowing beer gardens and shutting them right across the central belt altogether. That's not confusing at all. Not very confusing about it at all. Scotland sporting activities for the over 18s. Contact sport. Confused anyone? The stuff that's in the papers is pure bollocks. And I mean pure crap. Right, the Telegraph goes on. Shut down chaos after Caffey's given a reprieve. So some Caffey's will tell, you're alright, you barely sell you alcohol, you don't. If they had a licence. Big deal. Don't see much confusion in that either, do you folks? The Scotsman goes on, Sturgeon, I have nothing to hide over Sand, and scramble to cancel holidays, leaves hotels, counting cost. I don't get that headline at all. Scramble to cancel holidays. I'm sure the FM said she didn't put any travel restrictions in place so that people could carry on with their planned half-term holidays. So I don't really get that one. The Record goes on, Old Firm house parties concerned over COVID explosion. Right. Now apparently pubs and bar owners want the pubs open for the Old Firm game because they're regulated spaces, whereas house parties won't be. I wouldn't imagine there'd be that many house parties. I don't imagine there'd be that many nuts going to put their health at risk for a game of football. If you don't have access to it via computer or via television, well, turn the bloody tranny on. I can't really see that being a problem, right? The Herald goes on, operations acts by mistake and push to tackle COVID. I dare say that did happen. The Time goes on, the vulnerable face months of having to stay indoors. I imagine that this is going to be England because there's nothing to do here. On Wednesday, the First Minister made it clear she had no intention of putting the vulnerable back into isolation. She just advised them to be careful and follow facts. Right, and just be careful what they're doing. Okay. The National goes on. Why taking the UK government to court over power grab is a win-win for Scotland. That's a column from Joanne Cherry. I haven't read it yet, I intend to. Right. And SNP hit out at the Tories' separatist agenda. Now, this has to do with the fact that the immigration bill is going to be really bad for Scotland. In fact, it's going to impact on us really bad. It's said to hit the economy by about 10 billion quid a year because of an aging population, okay? And this is about the SNP want immigration devolved. That's what that is. Now, I've saved the best to last, folks. I have. I've saved the star to the last, alright? Because the star is brilliant. I love the star. Right, the star goes on. Strife of Brian. Right? And it's all about Brian Blessed plans to save the world. He plans to take our politicians to a top of the mountain and leave them there. Right? He says Trump should be shagged, sorry about language, sideways by a universal dinosaur, whatever that is. And he, apparently Brian Blessed also wants to take Vladimir Putin on in a square go. Yeah, but brilliant. You know, you just can't beat the star to cheer you up. That is absolute brilliant. Right, so the star, that's it, brilliant. Ends the week in a blaze of glory. It redeems itself for having a sensible headline during the week. Absolutely redeemed itself. Brilliant. So there you go. Brian Blessed's going to sort the world. Huh? He's going to dump Westminster politicians at the top of the mountain. He's going to find a universal dinosaur and shag Donald Trump sideways. He's going to take on Vladimir Putin in a square go. He says Putin's good, but he thinks he'll beat him. That was the review of the week, folks. I hope you enjoyed it. So, have a nice weekend. Look after yourselves. And abide by all the rules. They're no hard to understand. They're there for everybody to see. And remember facts. Doesn't matter if you think this virus is real or no. Hedge your bets. Face coverings in enclosed spaces. Avoid large gatherings. Clean hands and surfaces regularly. 2 metres social distancing. and book a test if you need one. Look after each other. Have a great weekend.
Have a nice day.
This is a new voice for a new Scotland.
And in life, God, rain.